And we've been having some visitors and some, not just visitors, but newbies. But I don't see them here today. But nonetheless, we're going to continue where we left off, go to Romans 11. We're not going to spend much time there because we've really covered this thoroughly, talking about the mystery of the fall of Israel and salvation going to the Gentiles. That's one statement, because what we spent most of the time doing is pointing out that the fall of Israel is not a mystery. The fact that God, that Israel was going to stumble and fall, you can find that in the Old Testament. But that's what's going to bring tribulation, the chastening of the Lord. And that's the time in which Israel will be born in a day. And then that brings the second coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom. And then salvation goes out to the Gentiles. But we're living in a day that in Israel's fall, salvation goes to the Gentiles. And that's the mystery that Paul's teaching and pointing out in Romans chapter 11, which is what his ministry is all about. We're studying, and I told you we're studying the seven mysteries of Paul. And back when we started that, I told you that years ago that we had a speaker who said, you know, some people don't even know what the seven mysteries of Paul were. And I thought, well, I don't know that. Interesting thing, we're going to be looking at some other passages today. And among those other passages, I was looking back at some old notes. And here I have a set, and it says the seven mysteries of Paul. But it's not my handwriting. I think it's Carl Tromboli's handwriting. And I think Carl came across that, and I asked him to write those down for me because I always wanted to look them up. And they were in my Ephesians notes. And I pulled them out because I thought, yeah, that's amazing. There they are. And I think that's Carl Tromboli's handwriting. If it's not, I'm giving the credit to the wrong person, but I don't know who else it would be. And then so I checked it against the seven that I've listed. They're identical. So so we're on track. This is the second one here. Romans chapter 11, and I'm just going to jump through because, like I said, we've been pointing this out. But Romans 11 is Romans 9, 10, 11 is a dispensational section of the book of Romans explaining God's right to set Israel aside, turn to the Gentiles. He can have mercy upon whom will have mercy. That's how it starts out in chapter 1, or chapter 9. Chapter 10 explains why Israel didn't get her blessing. She sought after the law of righteousness rather than the righteousness through Christ. And then when you come to Romans 11, it's not that all Israel is blinded, but the unbelieving remnant is. And through their fall, salvation goes to the Gentiles. So you have statements like verse 11 that says, I say then, have they stumbled, speaking about Israel, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And even the statement that Paul makes, so you see that Israel fell, and it's the salvation goes to the Gentiles. In their diminishing, it's the riches of God to the Gentiles. And then verses even 13 and 14, where Paul makes that statement that I speak unto you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Two things in there. Is you got the Jews have to emulate a Gentile in order to be saved, which is the opposite of the Old Testament. When God was dealing with the Jews, when they were predominant, if the Gentiles wanted to be a part of Israel's blessings, they emulated a Jew by getting circumcised. The second part of that is Paul magnifies his office and you know spreads it all over the earth so that some of his flesh might be saved. Contrast that to verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. So in the present time, some Jews get saved. Ultimately, in God's program for Israel, all Israel will be saved. Now there's a difference between, like we would say, a Jew or Israel. And Israel would certainly be the believing remnant. But in this age of grace, Paul magnifies his office that he might save some of them, the ones that will emulate a Gentile. Again, in chapter 11, verse 15, it says, for if the casting away of them, so They've fallen, they diminished, and now they're cast away. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And I can't help in every one of these not only see the present state of Israel, but also the fact that there's always that reiteration of a future time that they're going to be blessed again. I mean, if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world, Paul says, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So there will be a receiving. They're cast away now, but there's a future receiving. But in their casting away, God's reconciling the world today. That is the message of grace. And I'll skip verse 25 for a moment. Come over to verse 30. He says, As ye in time past, and that's talking about you Gentiles, in time past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now you're back to the present time, not believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. And so you realize that in this time that when the Gentiles in the past, we didn't believe God, and we have obtained mercy through their unbelief, but they also now have mercy as well because of the mercy that we have, that God had mercy upon all. Those who didn't believe, they also have mercy, and they have another opportunity to believe in this age of grace. But the mystery that we've been looking at that calls all this a mystery is in verse 25, where he says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the fullness of what God has for us in grace has been brought about, where we enter into, it's really the rapture and us entering into the heavenly places, the body of Christ is brought into its fullness. Then it says that's when the blindness will be over with the nation of Israel. And verse 26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So God's going to take away the sins of the nation of Israel, and he's really going to do that. It's provided in the cross, but it's going to be taken away when he judges and divides within the nation of Israel the believing remnant from the unbelievers and brings the believing remnant into the kingdom and they enter into their fullness. But Paul said, don't be ignorant of this mystery. And the mystery is what God's doing in the time of Israel's blindness today. That through the fall of Israel, salvation has gone to the Gentiles, which has never been. We've looked at the Old Testament scriptures and realized that judgment should have fell rather than grace and mercy upon everybody. So that was the second mystery. Now, when we were looking at these seven mysteries of Paul, what we did last time, as I told you, there's like 17 times that Paul speaks about the mystery. And I know, like in the introduction, we looked at several, but not all 17. But I made a point when I made my notes together is, at certain points that I wanted to make sure that I covered verses that Paul mentioned the mystery and which set of mysteries, that which part of the mysteries they would be best applied to. So even though we're done looking at Romans chapter 11, there's three other passages I want to go back to again and look where Paul mentions the mystery and the aspect about the mystery that's brought out in those passages. Under the same heading that through the fall of Israel, salvation is going to the Gentiles. The first is in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, it's always interesting in the book of Romans where the Apostle Paul in chapter 16 is just listing all kinds of people that he knows at Rome and really like three different assemblies that are meeting at Rome. And he has much to say about to them. The last thing that he kind of concludes is in verse 20, where it says, and the God of peace, Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. Amen. So it looks like the end of the epistle, but that was really just kind of after talking about all those that are serving and ministering in Rome. In verse 21, now these are the people that are with Paul as he writes the book of Romans, and he starts mentioning Timothy, my yoke fellow, and Lucius and Jason, Sopater, Tertullius, who penned the secretary of the book for the Apostle Paul, Gaius, his host, in verse 23, Erasmus, the chamberlain, down in verse 23, Quartus, a brother, and then verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So he signs off again, but he's not done. He has this last appendix on Romans chapter 16, in the book of Romans in chapter 16 in verse 24. That's where we want to look at. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's verse 25. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So you see in the middle of verse 25, or actually toward the end, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And I want to point out to you, there is, as Paul concludes in verses 25 through 27, and again ends with that amen, what he does now is kind of goes over, it's almost like, it's like a statement of faith. You know, they say that in 1 Timothy chapter 3:16, where it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, and then it goes through a list of things there that a lot of times when you read commentaries, they say that was like a doxology or something in the early church, something they would say. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. I just know it's in Scripture. But if something would be like, you know, like some churches, they recite either the Apostles' Creed or Westminster Confession or something. Even some have, you know, their own little saying for their own church. If ever our church would recite something as something we believe, we could actually use verses 25 through 27 as a declaration of truth. We could use the Timothy passage as well, but anyhow, this is a conclusion that Paul has given. That notice how in verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you. Back in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, Paul said that he desired to be with them that he might establish them. And that begins with an E, like establish. And that would be the process of getting them firmly fixed, unmovable, unshakable. But when he concludes the book, he says, now God has the power to establish you. And it starts with the S here, meaning to bring it about. That not just to, not the process of getting there, but what would make you established. And there's three things in this section here that says that is God's power to establish you. And they're divided by an and. There's one, and, there's two, and there's three. Notice that in the middle of verse 25, no, wait a minute, verse. Yeah, in the middle of verse 25, you got the word and then just after that first line in verse 26, or just where the first comma in verse 26, there's another and. So those ands are connecting three different thoughts. Another thing that you can notice as you read each one, there'll be a statement according to. And so he clarifies each one. Now, the whole section is just a whole bunch of commas dividing the three different thoughts out, but there's more than those thoughts. So again, in verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Now we've already covered that because our first mystery that we studied was the mystery of the gospel. And we realize there's more to the mystery of the gospel than just how to be saved, but it certainly starts with how to be saved. The preaching of the cross was given to the Apostle Paul, and all the accomplishments of the cross, especially as pertains to our glory, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the very first thing for anyone to be established is they have to know Paul's gospel. And not just the gospel, Paul's gospel. Because most people don't realize there are other gospel messages in the Bible, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, so the gospel of the uncircumcision was to Paul. For he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in Paul to the apostleship of the Gentiles. And most people won't acknowledge that there's two different apostleships with two different gospel messages. And you'll never be established. If you start mixing those together, you'll never be established. The only way to be established is first, in the very foundation of it all, is not just the gospel, but where that gospel came from. That it's Paul's gospel that is the gospel of Ephesians. In whom also, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Paul talks to a group of Gentiles and says, the gospel of your salvation. Not Israel's salvation, your salvation. And until you understand that the gospel message was given to the Apostle Paul, and that's our message of salvation for today. It's not John the Baptist's message. It's not Peter's message of circumcision. It's Paul's message, the gospel of the uncircumcision. So anyhow, that's the first thing that's able to establish you, and that's where everybody has to begin with the gospel. But then it says, and in verse 25. So again, now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. You know, that verse 26, you always want to think the completed thought is in verse 25, but this is all one thought, but there's three different sections to that thought. And when he talks about the mystery there, he refers to which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. He's describing to you what a mystery is. A mystery is a secret that's been kept secret for how long? Well, since the world began. Until when? Because if it was still secret, you can't be established by it. But now is made manifest, is now made known. And that's the second thing that's able to establish you. And again, what is that? It says, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to, so it's not just any preaching about Jesus Christ. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And this is in light of what we just studied in Romans chapter 11 about the mystery that in the fall of Israel, salvation went to the Gentiles. We haven't really studied all the fullness of what that is, but until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. But when we talk about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, you realize it should immediately strike you that there's a different way of looking at Jesus Christ. You can look at Jesus Christ another way, and you certainly can. You can study Jesus Christ according to prophecy. Then you can study Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There's an aspect to the person of Jesus Christ and the accomplishments of the cross that was kept secret that's now revealed. And basically that has to do with today, what God, when the riches of the Gentiles, has to do with God is forming a body of Christ. Now we'll see some of this in the other mysteries that we're going to look at. But today, you know, like for instance, if you study the nation of Israel and what Jesus Christ meant to them, you end up studying a bunch of prophecy about his first coming, and that is related to what's going to be fulfilled in his second coming. For instance, you have prophecies about Jesus Christ coming to fulfill the promises to the nation of Israel. And those promises to the nation of Israel is establishment of their kingdom forever, and that kingdom is going to be on earth forever, and that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. Well, we don't preach Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel today. That's a fact. But we preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Is he's not just Israel's Messiah. Paul says that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That there's no difference anymore. You'll see that in just the next one we're going to look. Between a Jew and a Gentile today. That we're not talking about something that belongs to Israel according to promises made to them. But something that was kept secret, a mystery revealed that to us, concerning us, about what Jesus Christ is to us. And he is a king, and he will be king head over heaven and earth, the only potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords. But Paul doesn't spend time talking about him being a king. He talks about him being the head of the body. head of the church, which is his body. And so when you come to what Paul talks about Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, it's in contrast to all the things that God told Israel, and even that kingdom that Jesus Christ will establish that we become a part of is, Paul says, he'll reserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. So if you study Jesus Christ according to prophecy, it's what he is to the nation of Israel, fulfilling their promises, setting up their kingdom, establishing it forever, and being king over the earth. When you study about him becoming forming the church of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, is that he's every man's savior, especially those that believe, that when you're saved, you become a part of the body of Christ, that you're going to be raptured out into the heavens, and that you're going to reign with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. And so there's a whole other aspect of Jesus Christ that's now revealed. And so Paul says the second thing that's able to establish you is to understand the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And how many people don't know that? They just kind of connect us with Israel and just look at down here and miss all the heavenly aspect and all the headship of the body and the whole purpose of the body of Christ by not realizing there's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Without that, you can't be established. Then the third thing, it goes in verse 26 where it says, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. When I see that God only wise, Paul, because of that added additional understanding of what was kept secret but now is revealed, you see the wisdom of God in more than just how he's going to fulfill his promise to Israel, but the hidden wisdom of God. Well, again, we're going to see that in the next verses. They're just in my mind. But just give you some thought. When it says, and by the scriptures of the prophets, in Matthew 26, it talks about there, about Jesus Christ in his being crucified, is fulfilling what was in the scriptures of the prophets. So you could look at that and say, well, now that I know Paul's gospel, and now that I know the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, now I can understand the whole Bible. And there's a pattern to that. But yet, when I look a little closer at this, when it says, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to, there's a clarification, the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience of faith. Well, is what was made known to all the nations for obedience of faith? Well, look at chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Paul talking about God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. So Paul received grace, but he also became an apostle. For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye also are called of Jesus Christ. Paul's apostleship, there is, God's got some things for us to know and to do and to obey in the age of grace. And that was given to us through our apostle Paul, and he's a messenger to all nations. And we're to obey what Paul has written to us. One of the things he says, like in 1 Corinthians 14, is if any man be spiritual or a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul's got the commandments for all nations for obedience of faith in this age. So it's almost a sense that once you understand Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, then you can go to Paul's scripture and find out all that God wants you to believe, know, and do. And particularly that's what God has commanded of you. But that's the third thing that's able to establish you, and that makes you established. Now come over to Ephesians. You almost get all the same thoughts, only maybe a little bit on a different angle. For instance, in Romans 16, verses 25 through 27, that's how to be established. Now in Ephesians chapter 3, among all the things that it says, this is certainly The mystery here is what will enlighten you to God's eternal purpose. So just for the benefit of this section, hopefully you got this memorized yourself. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1 says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Now, when Paul talks about this revelation of the mystery that was given to him, again, you see that it's his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You have to read his writings to get that information because it was given to him. Previous to him, it was not made known to the sons of men. It's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And then he makes that threefold statement in verse 3 that the Gentiles should be, notice these words, fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. All three of those statements, the fellow heir and the same and the partaker, all have to do with a union. They all have to do with being partaker, being equal, being joint. In fact, like the first one where it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, in Romans it said joint heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So that there is this heirship that we share. But what we share now is, can you imagine? We are joint heirs with the believing Jews of this age. Well, that's not true in the Old Testament. You'd be a joint heir with Israel. They had the inheritance of the kingdom and the promises that God is going to put on the earth. But now a Jew and Gentile are joint heirs, equally. There's no equal. When it says of the same body, there wasn't even a body back then. You know, you only find the phrase the body of Christ in Paul's epistles. That's why he says in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ." Before that, God was forming a nation, and you weren't the same. When God was forming a nation, there was Jew and Gentile, right? Now God's forming a body, and Jew and Gentile are the same. They're joint. They union. They're equal in the body of Christ. And that's unique to the age of grace. And that the Gentiles would be partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That what Jesus Christ did, it's a message for all mankind today, equally to all mankind today. That's why Paul calls it the gospel of the uncircumcision. But let me continue. Verse 7. It says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints." Less than the least of all saints. "Is this grace given that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." See, that's at verse 6. Fellowship of the mystery. When you look at what Paul's talking about, the mystery here, it certainly has to do with the setting aside of Israel, salvation, going to the Gentiles. It's what he calls the dispensation of the grace of God. And that in this dispensation of the grace, there's a fellowship. And it's called the fellowship of the mystery, a fellowship that didn't exist prior to the age of grace. And so it's called to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now between verse 9 and verse 5, you realize mystery means it was locked up secret until now revealed. And where was it hid? It was hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that in this age of grace, this fellowship of the mystery that's now revealed, what God's accomplishing in the age of grace, makes known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. You need to get a hold of that idea of manifold. There's more than one side. And what you ought to get a hold of is the fact is that since it was hidden God before the foundation of the world, that you have all the Bible written about the nation of Israel, and all of a sudden you come to Paul, and you realize through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to the Gentiles. You could think that, well, God had plan A going all the time, and then he switched to plan B, but he'll finish plan A when he goes back to the nation of Israel. But when you understand what Paul's writing here about this secret hidden God from the foundation of the world, that God started out with plan B all the time, had plan A in mind, and will finish plan B. That we're not an afterthought or a second. We were back before the foundation of the world. God had this in mind, but began with plan B to fool Satan and to make known the manifold, his manifold wisdom to those heavenly places. And then the last part of that, which is the whole emphasis that I'm making from this, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in Ephesians that you're enlightened to God's eternal purpose of the mystery, that fulfills that eternal purpose. Quickly to Colossians chapter 1, we just have just about time just to read it. You'll see it's every man's ministry, and there's two things fulfilled through this revelation of the mystery given to Paul. One, there's more sufferings of Christ than, like if God didn't interrupt the program of the nation of Israel, Christ's sufferings would have been over. The world would have suffered, and then Jesus Christ would reign. But by God postponing the wrath and extending grace, there's more sufferings of Christ to be extended. And Paul's going to continue the sufferings, but he's also going to fulfill, bring to fullness the word of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. There's more sufferings for Christ and sufferings of Christ to continue, because God's long-suffering in this age of grace. For his flesh... in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. The part of God's word that wasn't revealed now is revealed and fulfilled. Full. God's word is full. He says, even the mystery. That's the part that wasn't known before. Now it's written down and God's word is full. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now this verse isn't telling you what the mystery is. It's telling you what the riches of the glory of this mystery is. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so you learn in the book of Colossians here, it makes known unto us the riches of the glory of the mystery. So you had to be established in the mystery is in, for us to be established, to be enlightened, and to know the riches of the glory of the mystery. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We'll move on in a couple weeks to the next, number three, part of the mystery. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you that there is riches in the truth of your grace, in a fullness, in a partnership, in a fellowship that we have today in Christ, and share it equally with all believers, Jew and Gentile alike. And Father, we thank you for your calling for us and this the riches, and we pray as we understand that we will be established in the faith and be able to help others as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.